Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, coming to you from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is Marcus Hagans, whose exploits as a quarterback, wide receiver, and punt returner made him one of the most beloved players in the history of UVA football. He now coaches the wide receivers at his alma mater, and his group is easily the most improved on the team this season. Marcus, thanks for popping upstairs to the studio you had never seen before. How you doing?
Man, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. It's a pretty cool room.
Let's start with your wideouts. Really, except for Donnie Dowling and Andre Lavroni, these are basically the same guys who were inconsistent for much of last season. How do you explain their improvement? Is it the coaching?
It would be easy for me to take the credit, but those guys made a personal sacrifice this offseason. They invested their own personal time, and we just believed in, as a group, just finding a way to get better every day. Show up, do your job, and find a way to get better. And throughout that time, we just try to do our best to outwork our competition. And I think the biggest step for our group is the commitment they've made to each other this offseason and that we've carried over throughout the summer. So just to see the personal sacrifice and the personal time that they've invested extra outside of what's expected of, you know, the weightlifting, the 7-on-7, the extra time that they put in when people weren't looking, I think that's a big key for us this year.
I mean, they've talked in interviews about how close they are and how they cheer for each other, even when they're not on the field. That's not always easy to do because players want to play. And if you're on the sideline and your teammate is out there making catches, maybe he's taking your time. But they seem to be, you know, really kind of all for one in this.
I think that was a big part of our offseason program as well. As much as we wanted to lift, get stronger, get faster, we picked a day each week and we watched movies together. We watched the baseball team when they made the run. So a lot of things we did together as a group brought them closer together. And now I think that it's easy for them to root for each other, but at the same time, each day, each person is trying to outwork and outcompete the other one. So it's a healthy balance, and it's paying off for us so far.
It's tough to single out specific receivers because so many of them are playing well right now, but let me ask you about two in particular, Miles Gooch, mm-hmm. Kanan Severin. Miles has 14 catches. Kanan has 20 this season. Neither guy had done much statistically before this year. What's enabled those two to have such a big impact on the offense?
I think the thing with Gooch is he's always been one of the hardest workers in the group. And I think now one of the things that we talked about during the offseason is a lot of times Miles would work hard and do a lot of things in practice, but when he got his chance and opportunity, he didn't trust his preparation and he didn't have the same confidence. So a lot of it was based upon just keeping your confidence, trusting your preparation. And now I'm excited for him because it's his fifth year. You know, he's come from such a long way, and he's been the same person every single day. He shows up to work, doesn't say much, gives you everything he has, and now he's starting to reap the benefits of believing in himself and trusting his skill ability to go out and make plays, and it's exciting to watch. The thing with Kanan, you're talking about a guy who lost 20 pounds this offseason, so finally really dedicated himself to giving himself the opportunity to be successful by doing everything he needed to do off the field, and then that with the things that he was doing on the field. So I'm excited for him. And, you know, the challenge with every guy in the group, just not those two, is to continue to stay focused every day, the same approach, show up, do your job, find a way to get better. And that's something that they've taken to heart, you know, something that we've really stressed throughout the whole offseason and training camp, and just try to continue to do each day in practice.
On the offensive side of the ball, four assistant coaches, you, Tom O'Brien, Larry Lewis, and Steve Fairchild, were new to Coach London's staff last year, even though you'd been here as a graduate assistant for 2 years. How much more comfortable are the offensive coaches, not only with each other, but with the players this year?
I think a lot more. And I think a lot of things that we were doing last year, we were doing for the first time. Some of the coaches were getting exposed to the players for the first time. So finding out what motivates them, how to coach them, how to teach them. And now with having a full year underneath our belt with the same group of guys, I think it's more of a comfort level of knowing exactly who you're coaching and how to teach them and know how to get the most out of them. And that goes in every group as far as every coach. So it's paying off so far. You know, we still got a lot of work to do, but I think it just makes it easier to communicate as far as what we want to get done and how to get it done to the players.
You went right into coaching after your NFL career ended. Is this what you always saw yourself doing?
I think at the end When I got hurt my last year in Washington, I didn't really know for sure if coaching is what I wanted to do. And Coach London reached out to me, and at that time I wasn't ready. And the more I thought about it and talked to my wife, it just was the passion that I had as far as dealing with people. I always liked the relationship and relationships of dealing with people. And I used to work camps every summer. Mm-hmm. And just the instruction and, you know, the teaching part, I always loved that, and I would do it for free. So if you love something and you're willing to do it for free, I think it's something that's worth, you know, pursuing. And so Coach gave me an opportunity to come back and see if I wanted to GA, to see if I was willing to pay my dues and be serious about it. And I fell in love with it the first day I got back. And what better place to start? Where a place that you had success and people embraced me.
The team won 4 games in 2012. 2 last season, yet the coaching staff has continued to recruit well, and it looks like another strong class is headed this way in 2015. What's been the secret of this recruiting success? Because I know other schools, you know, are going to be throwing negative stuff out.
Well, honestly, it's just the relationships that you build with the players. And we don't try to sell anything. We just, you know, present an opportunity. You come around, you meet the people, you meet the staff, you meet the players, and you know, they don't have any negative things to say. It's a great opportunity to get a great education and play great football. And, you know, a lot of times I think the perception is that we're like an Ivy League school and we don't really have good football players. But if you look back along the history of time, I mean, there have been a lot of really good football players that come from the University of Virginia that have been drafted and went in as free agents and really went on to have very good career. So I think you get the best of both worlds here, and I think that attracts a lot of players. It's in the state of Virginia, and like I said, the relationships are real and not something that's predicated on being a car salesman.
How you went on the road for the first time last year, or you know, your first year as a full-time assistant, how much more confident are you now when you walk into a school? You kind of know where you're going.
Well,
you know the lay of the land a little bit.
You know, Coach London was a great recruiter, and he gave me a lot of insight. And then having the opportunity to go on the road my first year with Dex and Coach West, just watching two guys who have mm-hmm. really solidified themselves as recruiters and just learning, you know, little tidbits and then finding a way to twist that with my own personality. So now I'm a lot more comfortable. I know how to set up my own trips. I know how to get to where I need to get with what schools I need to stop by. And you just develop a relationship with a lot of these coaches. And one thing that I found out, a lot of these coaches in the state of Virginia, they remember me. So it's easy to always have a conversation point, and right. Some in North Carolina as well. So it's just a matter of just getting that experience. And, you know, I got to tip my hat to Coach London, Coach West, and Dex for showing me the ropes when I first started.
All right, let's go way back in time to your playing days. Hampton High School, you took over at quarterback after Ronald Curry graduated. Ronald might have been the greatest high school player ever in the state. You led Hampton to another state title that season, so obviously you weren't overwhelmed by the moment. But what was it like following a guy who was literally a living legend?
I mean, it was different because, I mean, watching him as a senior, you know, you got ESPN in school almost every other week. I mean, our high school was on the cover of USA Today all the time. He's Gatorade Player of the Year in football and right. basketball. And so after, you know, he graduated, everybody was like, well, who's going to take over? And at first it was a quarterback battle between me and one of my longtime friends, Alfonso Gunner. So it wasn't even handed to me. And, you know, I used to always just tell myself, if once I get my opportunity, I might not be able to replace Ronald Curry, but I'm going to make them respect me and they're going to like me. And, you know, I got the chance. Coach Smith gave me the opportunity to take it and run with it. And I had some great leaders, some good captains around me, and we made a run for it and won a state championship. So, you know, I just always played the game a certain way. I gave you everything I had and just tried to have fun. And I had a good group of guys around me that worked hard, and we were able to get it done.
You mentioned Coach Smith. He is another legendary figure in Hampton. Mike Smith is far and away the winningest coach in the history of Virginia High School League football. Do you ever find yourself emulating anything he did in practice or in meetings?
I think my mindset a lot comes from Coach Smith. You know, just the toughness, the approach, the preparation. A lot of people always thought that we just showed up and, you know,
wow,
we had a better
talent.
Team. But we prepared a lot. Like our Mondays were just, before we even practiced, were about a 2.5-hour segment of just preparing of what they're going to do, formations and things before we even started practice. So I think that the preparation aspect of it has always stuck with me. And just the toughness I got from Coach Smith, Coach Mann and Coach Mitchell, you know, to just never flinch, you know. And it was something that when I got to UVA was some similar things that Coach Groh was preaching. So, you know, I think those things that he instilled in me as a high school player carried over throughout the rest of my career.
You originally were headed to Indiana, mm-hmm. but after spending a year at Fork Union Military Academy with another coaching legend, John Schumann, you committed to Virginia in December of 2000. I went back and researched it last night, and it appears you committed a few days after George Welsh announced his retirement. Weren't you worried at all about who the head coach was going to be and who you're going to play for?
I didn't. I committed to Indiana, and I got a chance to go to Fork Union because my SAT scores weren't high enough. I came back, and my grandmother, who had never she's passed away now, but she had never watched me play. And she said, if you stay close in state, I'll come watch you play. So that made me change my mind.
She never came to watch you play at Hampton.
She didn't want to see me get hurt. So I said, well, if you come watch me play, Grandma, I'll stay in state. And it was between Virginia Tech. And it came down that Virginia was just a better fit for me because Virginia Tech had plans of, you know, going with quarterback with Marcus Vick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was cool. I understood. I knew Marcus for a long time. And so once I committed, I didn't really care who the coach was. I just wanted the opportunity to play in state, and, you know, Virginia was a good choice.
You came to Virginia as a quarterback, but after redshirting that first year, you spent the next two seasons at wideout and returning punts. Then after Matt Schaub graduated, you started at quarterback in 2004 and 5. You had to be patient, wait your turn, and patience isn't a quality that young men always possess. What was that experience like? I mean, were you confident your time would come eventually?
I was, and at first it wasn't easy because the competitor in you want to always be on the field. You always want to feel like you should be included in that number 11 of people that are on the field. And, you know, the first year was easy. It was redshirt year. I knew I wasn't playing. And then the sophomore year, I actually got a chance to get in. We played Colorado State, and we lost on the last play of the game. And I actually got to start quarterback in Florida State the next week. And so just having the taste of playing and then having it taken away because we decided that Schaub was the better quarterback for the team, which he was at that time, you know, I started returning punts. Like, I want to get on the field somehow, coach. And so just punt return, punt team, doing anything I could just to earn my keep, to show them, like, anytime I step on the field, you know, I have opportunity to make a play. And so it was a humbling experience to just have a small role. And then eventually it grew to running back, receiver, you know, trick plays at quarterback. And then once I have my opportunity to play quarterback, I always told myself, like, when I leave UVA, I'm going to make Coach Groh say I'm one of his favorite players of all time through how I play, to how we win, and just give him everything I got. Because his whole thing was he never had short quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know.
And I always said to myself, I'm going to make him love me. I'm going to make him love me. And, you know, the last game we played against Minnesota, he gave me this big hug and started crying. I was like, I love you. And I was like, I did my job.
I remember interviewing you late in that season, your senior year, and hearing you talk about how far you'd come academically at Virginia. You were something of a reluctant student when you first got here, I think it's fair to say. Does it make it easier for you to talk to current players now who may not be as invested in their schoolwork as they ought to be and relate to them and encourage them?
I think it does. And, you know, because sometimes you can speak to people as far as what's your interpretation, but when you actually have done the same things and lived off experience, I think it makes it easier for them to relate and understand exactly where you're coming from. So as a student athlete who started off on a bad start, you struggled in school, struggled in classes. By about my third year, I really started to settle in and understand how to do my work, how to go to class, how to make sure, you know, teachers saw me, developing relationships with teachers, you know, because there was certain things in certain classes that were over my head. But I needed additional help and tutoring to make sure I was able to complete classes and complete tests and classes. But I think most of that early off is because I wasn't taking advantage of the resources that were available. And a lot of times if you take advantage and just do your part, mm-hmm. you know, there's help here to make sure that you can be successful at UVA and get good grades. And by my third and fourth year, I was really comfortable in my academics and being able to succeed in class.
It's no secret that attendance is down at Scott Stadium this season, but you regularly played in front of large, loud home crowds during your UVA career. How much of a difference can that make to the players? I know it's supposed to be only about what happens within the white lines, but you know, you're aware of what's in the stands too, aren't you?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't. And you know, for certain players it doesn't bother them, but for me it always excited me. You know, the more people that came to watch us play, to watch me play, it excited me. I always wanted to do something that no matter how many people were in the stands, they left saying, "Boy, did you see that number 18? You know, and the more, the bigger the crowd that got, the bigger the crowd became, the more I got excited. And I know a lot of players fell into that same category. So the more fans that we can get to come to games, I think it helps us out a lot, especially on defense. It flusters offenses. But at the same time, we got to give the people something to cheer for. So I think we're getting back to our winning ways. You know, and I think that we're putting a good product out on the field that people can be proud of and proud to say that they want to support. And so it starts small, and we'll continue to build. And whoever comes to the game, we're very thankful for all the fans that come. And I know certain situations, some people can't come based upon circumstances. But we're appreciative to all the fans that come. We like to continue to see it grow, and we're going to keep continuing to giving our total effort as a team to make sure we put a good product on the field every Saturday so they can be proud to come cheer for.
Your most satisfying victory as a college player? Or most memorable, or satisfying, however you want to call it.
I would probably say the West Virginia game.
In the Tire Bowl.
Because that was the first bowl game that I was a part of, and we won. There's a couple. Can I get a couple?
Yeah.
All right, the West Virginia game. And I also returned the punt in that game, and I threw a touchdown as a trick play.
Yeah, trick play, I remember that.
And that was on my birthday, so I was kind of excited about that. The Florida State game, of course, 2005.
So the toughest loss is that 1 week later after the Florida State game.
I still think about it.
7-5, right?
That's the toughest one. That one still bothers me to this day. And the one we went out to Boise to play
president. And had it in hand. And
that those two games really, oh, man.
All right. I'll move on. Of the guys you played with at Virginia, who do you still talk to the most? And do you hear more from your former teammates after a big win or after a tough loss?
You know, it's crazy. It's so many guys that, you know, through just years of and keeping relationships with your teammates, it's hard because everybody, you know, goes their own way. But I talk to Big Heath Miller all the time, C Long. I'm fortunate enough to work with Clint Sinem every day. Brandon Albert, I still talk to him. Jason Snelling. I'm trying to think who else. Kevin Ogletree. Maurice Covington is right across the hallway. I see him every day. So many guys, Big E, Elton Brown, Alvin Pierman is another guy. Me and Ahmad have really kept in touch, you know, ever since his father passed. So that's a big one. Marcus Hamilton, there are a lot of guys. I could go on and on. I stay in touch with all those guys, and it's a good feeling to know that we're still connected for more than just football.
And even if they can't get back here, they still follow it.
Absolutely, and they check in. You know, most of the time I'll get a lot of text Saturday before the game wishing me good luck. And, you know, it's good to feel that brotherhood that we developed in college that still exists, you know, after college.
You and David Watford are cousins. Mm-hmm. You're both former Hampton High School quarterbacks. David has gone from starting every game last year to being number three on the depth chart this year. I know that's not easy for him or for any player. What advice have you given David?
Well, I think the first thing is how you carry yourself. You can be disappointed, but you don't have to be defeated. So each day that you get the opportunity to come out and play this game, practice, run around, have fun, you got to take advantage of it. And, you know, you never know when your opportunity may present itself again, but you can't blame anybody but yourself for the way things turned out. And so I think one of the hardest things to do is always assess yourself first. Everybody always wants to point fingers at, you know, everybody else outside of themselves. But I think he's handled it pretty well. He's done a good job as far as just, you know, the offseason being a good leader, staying focused. And, you know, he's working hard in practice. So, you know, he got a chance to play last week and run around and throw some passes. So, you know, that's a good thing. Now he's just got to continue to work and, you know, just stay prepared because you never know what might happen. It's a long season left. I mean, we're coming up on the game this weekend, have a bye, and we still have half the season left. So you just never know. You have to stay prepared and, you know, stay ready to go.
You and your wife, Lauren, have two young sons, Christopher Dex and Jackson Watford. Is it challenging to balance the demands of coaching with you know, the commitment you want to make to your family?
I think it is, but I think there's sacrifices that you have to make, you know, and our meetings start at 7:15 every morning. So the sacrifice, if I want to get a workout in, I'm up by 5:15, you know, working out before meeting starts. I like to run. And then the time that we do get off at lunch, I make that family time. And so, you know, there are personal sacrifices that you have to make, but I think we do a really good job. And, you know, she's a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother who understands what it takes to be a college football coach. And she does a really good job of helping keep that balance. And, you know, Wednesday nights we have our date night. So, you know, we do a good job. And then Coach London makes Sunday night family night anyway. So it's we get to see each other and we get to keep a happy balance. And I think it works. You know, Fridays we don't have to come in early, so I'm able to right. take my son to school. And, you know, I really enjoy it.
Lauren played basketball for Debbie Ryan here. So mm-hmm. your boys have great athletic bloodlines. I know Jackson is still a little guy, but has Christopher taken to sports? I've seen a lot of pictures of him with footballs on Twitter and with Chris Long, and it seems like he's around the game all the time.
That little guy loves football. I can't lie. And if it's not football, it's hockey because he likes the contact. And then if it's not hockey, it'll probably be baseball and soccer. I don't want him to play football, but I don't, you know, he's named after Chris Long. And, you know, Chris is always, when they get a break or opportunity, like last year they went out to St. Louis to watch a game. He's always around football, so it's going to be hard to keep him away from it. So I don't know. I would prefer he played baseball or golf so he doesn't get hurt, but we'll see.
All right. One final question. I know you got to run. Your nickname since high school, as UVA fans all know, has been Biscuit. I've seen a couple people take credit for coming up with that, including Muffin Curry. But as far as I know, you have never publicly divulged the story behind the nickname. Is it time to finally set the record straight?
Not yet.
Not.
Yeah, I mean, some.
If
some,
not now, when?
I honestly think it's become such a big thing. Like people want to know, and the story is not. When it comes out, the story...
So it'll be anticlimactic when it
comes out. Everybody's going to be like, oh, that's what it was? And so now it's to the point where, like, I don't even want to say what it is because it's not even worth it. But it was just something that, you know, an incident happened and a nickname grew from it. And, you know, we just always kept it to ourselves. It's probably about, outside of Muffin, it's probably like three other people that really, really know the true story. But, I mean, I can't believe that they've all held the story that long and haven't said anything. So...
Hey, you got good friends then.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to stay true to it, and I don't know. One day I'll let it go.
All right. Until that day, I want to say thanks for stopping by, and good luck against Pitt on Saturday night.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me anytime.
We hope to see everybody at the game at Scott Stadium. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check VirginiaSports.com for updates on all 25 of our teams, and thanks for listening.